This Jocks 94.5 podcast is brought to you by Millennium Satellite and Video. Log on to msvnow.com. TV excellence everywhere. That's Millennium.
801 on the round table.
Let's go to the Bud Light Orange hotline. Will Lowry, the former Alabama defensive back, with us to talk a little Crimson Tide football now. Will, what's going on, man? How are you?
Doing great, guys. What's going on with y'all this morning?
Not a whole lot. Let's start there with Nick Saban talking about Ale Kaho, who comes from Washington. Based on your experience, a guy coming in cold like that as a freshman, how difficult would it be to actually get on the field and contribute in some way this year?
It's going to be really difficult, especially with him just now showing up. It'd be a little different if he had a couple months of summer, getting acclimated, just the simplest stuff, just being around teammates, being around the coaches, the facilities, getting used to how things go. All that factors in, and when you're talking about bringing a guy straight fresh from high school that has not even seen the playbook yet, he's got a long, long way to go. Hopefully be somebody we can utilize on special teams this year, typically how we do with some of our higher caliber players that aren't quite ready to contribute on the offensive or defensive side of the ball, get them out there on some kickoffs and stuff, similar to how we saw Reuben Foster contribute early on, things like that. Hopefully we can get him up to speed. But like you said, there's no magic wand. There's nothing you can do. As great as it would be to just plug and play a talent like that, it's going to take some time to get him up to speed and developed a little bit.
Will, most would agree that if there's a question mark with this Alabama team, it's the defensive backfield with all the departures. You played the position for years in Tuscaloosa. What are you seeing from some of these younger players? Who's standing out right now?
Well, I haven't been there, and I'll go ahead and say this. I was at the scrimmage on Saturday, and I feel kind of bad about what I said. It's kind of been blown out of proportion a little bit. It's a close scrimmage, so I probably shouldn't have said it how I did, and I'm certainly not trying to become part of the clutter, if you will, for this team. But, talking about the quarterbacks, I can assure you Coach Saban doesn't give a rip what I or anybody else thinks about the quarterback or any other position. I'm not an insider. I'm not there in the insides and outs working day in and day out. It's just humble opinion. So, I'm not getting paid $10 million a year to make those calls.
Okay. From your opinion then. How do you feel like these younger guys are going to develop and who ultimately will stand out?
Well, it reminds me a lot of going into my junior year in 2010. We had just won the national championship, and seven of our top eight guys in the defensive backfield had gone on to the NFL and graduated. And everyone was really curious what a whole bunch of new faces would be able to do, filling in for the really good talent guys that had left. And honestly, I'm really not worried about it. You've got a lot of young guys with a lot of ability, some of which have contributed to certain levels. Deontay Thompson, with the opportunities that he got down the stretch last year, I thought he looked phenomenal. Thought he showed a real knack for the big hit, kind of bringing that enforcer attitude to the defense and being able to get all around the field. And certainly with the guys on the outside, they've had some opportunities. And, Shaheen's gotten thrown in the mix some. And it sounds like everything's going really well so far. I would expect that these guys have had a few years in the program. There's nobody better in the nation at developing defensive backfield talent than Coach Saban. So given the talent level that we've got and the time he's had with some of these guys to bring them on, I feel pretty good that they'll be able to plug in and play just fine with the team and be able to carry on that standard of excellence on that side of the ball.
I'm interested you were part of that 2010 team, coming out of a national championship. This team's coming off of a national championship. One thing Nick Saban's trumpeted for doing is keeping this program of success going for a long period of time. How does he keep the players hungry? How does he recreate that hunger every year at this time?
It's difficult to do. Success is extremely difficult to sustain. It's something he talks about all the time, and for good reason. It's very easy to get complacent when you reach the pinnacle, and certainly that 2010 year, we tasted it in 2009, and we're not ready for the burden of carrying that target on our backs the following year. And it's been amazing to see how he's able to rally the troops year in and year out after having so much success and to stir up that much desire in these guys. And fortunately, the guys that we're recruiting have great aspirations for themselves. You know, these are guys that have very high level, high ceilings in the game of football, and they want to be as successful as they can be, both personally and collectively. So I think it goes back to the type of people that we're bringing in and the hunger to succeed every year. You know, it's not what did you do for me yesterday? It's what have you done today? You know, so credit to the staff and to the players for just continuing to step up year in and year out in that regard.
Will Lowry is with us, the former Hoover Buck and Alabama defensive back, and he is on the Bud Light Orange Hotline. By the way, if you want to follow Will on Twitter, JWLowry29, you can follow him there. I do want to ask you broadly about the quarterback situation, because you were on the 2011 team when A.J. McCarron and Phillip Sims, Will, actually that spilled over into the season. It wasn't settled, it appeared, at the end of camp. So based on what's going on now with Tua Tagovailoa and Jalen Hurts, you saw it play out. How does that kind of play out in the locker room, even when it spills over into the season?
Yeah, it's a difficult situation. Everyone's going to have an opinion and be entitled to that opinion, just like Coach Saban said. And there are certainly going to be guys that favor one guy over the other, or whatever the case may be. But I will point out, I thought it was really awesome to see the team already showing some resiliency to kind of block out this type of stuff when they, you know, they met together, had a players-only meeting last week, and came out as a team and said, you know, we're not worried about it. We're not focused on Jalen's comments last week. You know, we're focused on the next day and improving and being better as a team. And, you know, I think that says a lot, because if they can get through this quarterback controversy, which I think and hope will be settled here soon, and we'll be, you know, starting to establish our identity on offense, you know, if they can get through this, then they can handle anything this season. But with that said, let's take a step back for a second. You know, Alabama right now is in the midst of one of the greatest eras the sport of football has ever seen. And there's a reason that ESPN is doing a primetime weekly special on the program right now. I mean, we have legit, true blue-chip talent depth at pretty much every position. We are so good across the board as a team right now that we can mask any deficiencies that we have pretty well. You know, last year, we were not good at throwing the football downfield on offense. That's pretty fact, you know. But we were so good everywhere else that we were still able to win 11 games during the regular season. But after week one last year, when I don't think we broke 100 yards in the air against Florida State, I began saying that, you know, we were going to win a lot of games because we were so good as a whole. But eventually somebody was going to make us prove we could beat them by stretching the field vertically. And it took until Auburn for that to happen. And I thought at that point it was evidence that our offense had kind of stalled out a little bit. And, you know, we obviously didn't have the best production either in the Clemson game or in the first half against Georgia. Now listen, Jalen is a great football player and a great competitor. And I think he adds a ton of value to our football team in terms of intangibles and leadership and poise and things in that regard. And I think he's done an exemplary job of how he carries himself, certainly how he handled the benching in the championship game. And I'm proud to have guys like Jalen associated with the team. You know, they bring the right kind of notoriety to the football team. But when it comes down to it, if you're asking me who do I think is better suited to lead this offense and this team, then I do think that Tua has kind of continually shown to have the better skill set given what's around him. You know, Jalen's a great runner and knows how to win football games. Guys won a heck of a lot of games for Alabama, put up some big numbers, and made some big-time plays. But I think that Tua, in the opportunities that he's been given in mop-up duty last year in some games, and, of course, down the stretch there in the championship game, he's just shown in each of those opportunities to be more able in terms of reading defenses, seeing the entire football field and making those downfield throws and explosive plays in the passing game that our offense has lacked here recently. And, you know, on top of that, he's shown some truly special talent in terms of his ability to avoid the rush, stay alive in the pocket, find the open guy downfield, and then deliver the ball on the spot. You know, the one play that really caught my attention last year and made me kind of take a step back for a second was, you know, that I think it was week four against Vanderbilt. And he kind of spun out of the rush and then found Devontae Smith, I think it was, streaking into the end zone and just put it right on the money for a touchdown. And that's special. You know, that doesn't come around every day where you can have that kind of awareness directly around your body and also be able to survey the field and find the open guy and make the pass. So, You know, and again, I know a lot of that was mop-up duty, but those are still live game reps. You know, they count. And the plays he was making, he showed he was capable of. You know, he turned around and continued to make a bunch of those exact same type plays against what was one of the best defenses in all of college football last year on the very biggest stage in the most difficult circumstances you could imagine. So I just think that we've got plenty of NFL-caliber running backs that can carry the ball effectively. We need the guy at quarterback that opens up the field for us vertically, and I personally think that's number 13. You know, but to that point, you know, I've been thinking that for a while, and clearly, coach sees something else. And again, he's the guy. He's the pro here. You know, he's the guy that knows it all the answers and has the best ability to facilitate through information and make the right decisions. And he's proven that time and again. We don't need to harp on that, but. So, you know, just kind of my humble opinion. Is he going to turn the ball over some? Absolutely. It's going to happen with this style of play. But I think that the positives he brings to the team far outweigh the negatives. You know, we've never had a guy with his talent and skill set during the Saban era when you consider all the elite weapons that surround him. So just kind of exciting to think about what our offense is capable of with him under center.
Will Lowry, former Alabama defensive back. Will, it's been a pleasure, man. We appreciate the time.
Yes, sir. Enjoyed it, guys.
All right, man. Take care. Will.
Where college football never ends.
Here's Coker with protection. Loads up. Looks long. Has O.J. Howard behind the defense. He'll make the grab. He's going in. Touchdown, Alabama.
The Jocks Roundtable with LT, Dunaway, and Brown.